question that we have is from Vinay. Before we start, I'll just like to introduce Vinay. He is the president of Sales Enablement Society Bangalore. He'll be speaking about this starting a B2B business today, the first vital sales steps that matter. So over to you, Vinay.
Thank you so much, Devarati, and everybody at Amplus. Excited to be here. I know I have only 10 minutes and a truckload to cover, so I'll do my best doing quick snapshot. My intent is to leave the audience with as much information as I possibly can give in the next 10 minutes, obviously answering more questions as we go forward too. The whole thing started for me in the 25 years that I've been in sales. It's always intrigued me how sales strategy is so varied, and different startups tend to struggle at having a sensible, logical flow in terms of their sales strategy, an optimum strategy in place. So I think my Nirvana moment came with this gentleman on your screens right now. That's Rudyard Kipling. Other than Jungle Book, he said something that, as I said, was my Nirvana moment. This quip by him was the turning point in my thinking career, if you like, as a consultant. And I've based most of my guidance, consulting that I've done with a lot of startups that I've worked with or helped over the years, based on this simple sentence. So logically, he said the six honor-serving men that taught him everything that he knew are the basic six English questions. So what do I mean by my Nirvana moment? The six steps of creating a sales strategy. What is your product? Where is it being sold? Who is it being sold to? When? How? And the most important, why will they buy? So this is a six-step process in creating a sales strategy for any startup. And it's worked multiple times in the past. So let's motor on step one, the what. This is the closest to your hearts. This is your baby. This is the product and service that you've launched your whole startup with taking to market, right? So the important aspects here that one needs to keep in mind during the process of creating a sales strategy are these three pointers. My presentation, I suppose, will be available, so you can refer to it. So what's on the can? What's your product? What's your service? Have you clearly defined, described, and depicted what your product and service is? It's very important that you list out the features that one is buying. Point two, what is the can? What's the logical packaging? How do you stand with a very crowded competitive marketplace? How does your product or service stand out? What is the hook that you're going to leave behind with your prospects and your customers for them to get attracted to your product? And finally, the price. Now, all of us think price is a number, hence easy, but I find this to be the most confusing thing when I speak with a lot of entrepreneurs. What is the price of your product or service? Have a price and have a methodology for this price. Is it free for a while? Is it freemium? Or is it premium? You need to think this through, and you need to chalk out the packages that people are going to buy. So the key question that we'll leave the step with are, is your offering the five C's? Clear, complete, concise, concrete, and correct. By correct, I mean factual, right? Don't claim something that your product might or think you do. Step two and three, this kind of, there's an intersection between these two steps, and hence I've put them in the same. So they overlap, and hence when you define your target marketplace on one end and the target customer, you have to go through this process. A lot of the speakers before me have spoken about this, and everything that is displayed on your screen right now is not new. It's simple. So you start with the potential addressable marketplace. Potential is a bit different from total. Total is available right now. Potential is you could possibly convert, educate a bunch of suspects or prospects to become your total addressable marketplace. So that's a wee bit of difference between PAM and TAM, but that's too huge. You can't obviously address everybody in your total addressable marketplace, everybody who needs your product or your service. So then you go down to the next level, which is your SAM, which is your serviceable marketplace. Okay, great. The world is my oyster. I can work with everybody out there, but then there is a specific geographic limit to what I can reach out to. That's my serviceable marketplace. Even there, I can't have 100% of the market share. What is the market share that I'm after? Is it a number of customers that I want from that list? Is it a specific set of people or revenue that I'm after? That gives you your SOM, which is your serviceable, obtainable marketplace. The three steps, everybody in your SOM becomes effectively a suspect. You suspect that they could be customers. Leads, suspect companies in this list that you've just made that you should or can or have contacted. That is effectively a lead. Please remember, lead is one-way communication. You have communicated with them. They might not have come back to you. If they do, then they become a prospect. They have shown some interest by responding to you and hence have fallen into a pipeline aspect, a prospect bucket. Key question here. What is it that you're aiming for? What's your first year's revenue plan? Is it a dollar value or is it a list, customer list? You could say, I want to achieve 1 million in my first year, or you could say, I want to achieve 100 customers in my first year. Either way, it's fine. Step four, the how. Now, this is high activity, lots and lots of work for one to do, but it's easy. It's logical. It's mathematical. A lot of ease can, a lot of work has been done, and there's tons and tons of guidance that's available on the net. Multiple steps here. Don't worry. Each step is very simple. Right. So what is your go-to-market plan? Do you have a go-to-market plan? So obviously you created a product or service which you're extremely proud of and want to take into the marketplace because you believe there's a gap in there for you to fill. Fantastic. But who's your ideal customer? Which vertical do you think your product or service appeals to? What's the size of this customer in terms of revenue, in terms of headcount? And what type? Are they a traditional company? They've been around for 100 years. Are they a startup like you are? These things are effectively something that the founders of the startup have to sit down, discuss, and decide. What are the bio personas? Now you've decided who your company is, what your ideal customer looks like, but who within that company is going to buy your product or your service? Who are the initiators? Who are the influencers? Who are the decision makers? There's multiple roles that are important. Now that leads to your database of contacts. Now, if somebody asked me, what's your lead database? And Guru Pandian spoke about lead databases. This should contain effectively all the people you should be talking to within the ideal customer set. When you talk to them, what do you talk with? A pitch. Those are the different aspects that a pitch should have. Most important, storytelling. Please don't describe features. Don't sell features. People don't buy features. They buy the value of the feature. Hence, please remember the story of shifting a pain point to a pleasure point, which is a solution, and the positive outcome that comes up. That's more important for you to focus on. Is your campaign going to be inbound or outbound? What are you going to do? Are you going to do social selling? Gunnar and others have spoken about different marketing traits. So what kind of campaign are you going to be running? What is the sales process going to be? Is it just going to be a website where people can just give their credit card details and buy? Is it something that you will have a team inside or on the field selling with the customers? Or like the previous session spoke a lot about, is it going to be a channel? Is that going to be your successful sales process? What are you going to do? And finally, ABM. I know there's a question coming up at the end of the session, but once you know your ideal customer, do you have a plan to target each of these customers? Account-based marketing. Is there a plan? The key question, who is your CRO? You have to have a chief revenue officer who's thinking of all these steps and constantly amending, appending to them. And this is a continuum. This is not done once. This is a continuum. The how is always a continuation. And step five is the when. A bit easier in the list of questions. Timing is everything in sales. All of us know this. What kind of timing are we talking about? When you call this guy, you know who your ideal customer is, you know who your buyer within that customer is. When you call this person or email this person, What kind of social selling will you adopt? And what is the right time, day? It goes down to which part of the day should you present or publish a message. ABM, when you are focused on a specific account and you have account-based marketing happening, it is extremely vital for you to know the budgetary allocations within that account and the project deadlines and the priorities and the critical events that are happening within that account. So ABM timing and budget and deadline timing are extremely vital. The key question in this step, are you contextual? Are you doing what you do at the right time that you should be doing it? And finally, and the most difficult one, why will they buy? Four-step process again. Differentiators and competitors. You know there's competition out there. You're not unique in your product unless you got lucky, right? So what are the differentiators of your product or your service? Make a list. Don't cringe at taking a piece of paper and pen. Make a list of what you believe are the differentiators. Now, challenge number one, take out your logo, put your competitor's logo, and start looking at the same differentiator list. If you believe that participants in that list happen to be within your competitor's offering set too, delete them. What you will end up having at the end of all those deletions are those one, two, maybe three differentiators which are unique to your products. You need to know these because this is what is very vital for you to sell your product or your service. Cognitive reframing and consultative selling go hand in hand. These are effectively going to a prospect who might not even recognize that they have a need. You need to reframe their thought process, their cognition, in such a way that they have the ability to place themselves adopting or adapting to your product or your service and how positive the outcome of that is. So don't react to your customer needs, your prospect needs. Don't react just answering their questions. Each time they ask you for something, reacting, that's what 99% of salespeople do. Don't do that. Focus on reframing their thought process. And finally, have a core group of influence. These are your first customers, people who love your product and service, people who not only can give you extremely vital market intel of what you should add to your product or your service, but also can be your reference points for your future customers. So the key question in step six and the last is, all bias aside, of course it's your baby, so I can't say bias is not going to be there, but hypothetically, all bias aside, will you buy your product or service? Ask yourself the question and understand why you will buy it, because that's exactly why your prospects are going to buy your product. There's a few other strategies we will not spend too much time on. I'm just going to list them out here while we talk and answer the questions. All of these are important for you to have strategies. These are like the side actors of the movie. You need to have these. They're extremely vital for the strategy to work. But one question which I'll focus here is the last point. Do you wish to do sales and building the sales strategy yourself, or do you wish to outsource it to another company which excels and is an expert in that? It's a very big question. A lot of entrepreneurs are more techie in their approach, are more happier and comfortable building the product and the developing the roadmap. But outsourcing of sales, is that something that you should be thinking of? Or do you want to take control and do it yourself? That, my friends, is my quick snapshot of building a sales strategy for a B2B startup. Thank you.
Hey, Vinay, thank you so much. Great presentation. We'll take the Q&As now. So the first question that we have is, when should I pitch for cross or upsell to an existing client?
Right. So that's a simple one. I don't think there's a time aspect associated with cross or upselling. As soon as you get your first purchase order form, however it is, SOW, you should start cross-selling and upselling. Sales is a continuum. Sales is a continuation and it never ends. So if you look at the sales cycle and you're able to picturize or visualize the sales cycle right from, you know, lead down to a logo, and you've just won the logo, you have to now consider that there is a lot more dollars on the table out there and get more of the wallet share of that customer. So upsell and cross-sell doesn't have to wait for some critical event to happen, it can happen in a continuation as soon as you win your first order also.
Good. So next question that we have is, does taking an ABM approach in the early days work?
I spoke about ABM a couple of times during the last few minutes. Absolutely, it does work because it gives you a huge amount of focus on what to do specific to a target customer. So you've listed out a set of customers that you would like to acquire and have in your customer roster. And now the minute you start building a unique focused plan, I think it gives you the leeway to have a customized approach for each customer. Instead of a cookie cutter saying that, okay, this is my product, this is how it's packaged, this is the price, and I'm just going to throw it in the market and hope it sticks somewhere. So the ABM approach, I think, is an extremely good approach for a startup to very clearly focus on the customers they would like to acquire in year one.
Right. So the next question that we have is, what is a good sample size for beta testing the product?
Right. So that's a, okay. It's extremely customized, Debarati. I think it's difficult for us to put a generic answer because every industry is going to be different. Say if you're a SaaS product, I mean, the sample size is going to be in thousands. if it's your physical product, it's going to be in maybe even 100 could be a good beta. So yeah, right. That's a difficult one.
Yeah, I think the next question that we have is actually a follow-up for the same, which says, like, what is a healthy beta to paid customers conversion rate? Let's just take an example of maybe like a SaaS product. And then Let's say we have like 5,000 beta testers. How would you say, how many paid customers would you get out of that?
So I would add an element of time to this answer. So the conversion should effectively, I think a very healthy, hugely successful conversion rate would be anywhere up to 50%. So if you have 5,000 SaaS subscribers, if all of them are free ones, 2,500 of them become paying customers, I mean, well, we're going to have a party tonight. Mm-hmm. So, but there's a time aspect to it. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not that you give 3 months of a free subscription. It doesn't mean on the 91st day, half of them have to convert, or that's what you should focus on. Focus on during the free period, constantly working on every person who subscribed because they've shown interest, they've shown intent. Start with 10%. So 5,000, get to 500 first. So who are the key ones? Who have had more conversation before they subscribe? Who are asking you questions on how to use your product or your service? Those are the individuals who seem to be putting their skin in the game of wanting this product in their daily operations, right? So 10%, increase that to 20, and so on. I wouldn't stop. I mean, as a sales guy, I think it's inevitable that 100% is the only way. Right. And then we'll acquire the next 5,000. But I think 10% is a good way to start with in the first month or month and a half. By the end of the first quarter, you should basically be at 20-25%.
So the next question that we have is, hiring pros versus hiring curious young talents, your pick. A pretty interesting one.
I think you need to have a pro because you need somebody to, add some meaning to the madness. Now, the level of intrigue that a high energy, young, maybe a bit inexperienced individual brings to the table is extremely vital for a startup. You need those individuals because they are raring to go and prove a point that they are the best things that happened after sliced bread. So you need a bunch of those, but you need one of those father figure guys, gray hair guys on top. So a pro on top with a bunch of extremely excited individuals below would be the best model.
Understood. So the next one is, do you recommend cold emails and LinkedIn outreach?
LinkedIn outreach, yes, absolutely. It's worked for multiple startups in the past, and people do take that platform, that social media platform, very seriously as a professional way forward. Cold, it's got good days and bad days. All of us, you and me, Debarati, I'm sure receive tens, if not 50 emails per day. we just delete them, don't we? So I think the world has moved on a bit from the attack of the cold email. I think we've moved on from there. It has to have a hook. One of my points in the presentation talked about the pitch. The pitch is not just a verbal one. It could be an email pitch too.
Yeah.
So the hook of what your email subject line is, that matters if you're sending a cold email. But yeah, I would, if you ask me to choose, I'll choose LinkedIn.
Got it. So the next one is, how does following other success story models work? Like people who are like unicorn startups and they have done something, would it work for you as well?
You could take pointers of best practices that have worked for them. But please remember one aspect, this is not a copy-paste module. Something that has worked for them might not actually work for you, might actually go against working for you. So take some best practices in terms of operationalizing your strategy, right? But the strategy has to be unique. Why your product will sell, who it will sell to, and all those six questions that we just spoke about,
right,
that is unique to your startup. Mm-hmm. Now the operation, right? The whole process of, okay, I need a CRM, I need some technology. What did they adopt? That seems to be working. Why think again? Just take the same CRM. They have sourced their lead database from that source. Go there. So those things maybe you can just adopt, but strategy, I would say you have to spend the time, peel the onion. Sometimes a bit of tears, but well, you'll love the secret sauce that comes out at the end.
Right. So the next one we have is, does reaching out to personal network a good thing, or will it succumb future growth?
That's a no-brainer. I think every startup, I think I dare say 100% of them would pass on their information to their personal network. I think the first set of customers would be from the personal network inevitably. Whether this is a personal professional network, ex-customers from when you were working with somebody else, or friends who are in high places, it doesn't matter. Your professional network is going to matter really in the initial days, and they are going to be your first customers.
Right. So the next one is, how to blend long-term and short-term objectives?
Okay. So, That's a good one. So you'll have to, the word strategy is a bit of a, I mean, we normally talk about the two ends of the spectrum, right? The strategic and the tactical. So in my view, in my experience, they kind of blend extremely hugely. So every point within the strategy that you've, outlined for your startup has a bunch of tactical steps. And this is constant. Think of it as small mini cycles of each step, and the large strategy being a larger cycle of you constantly innovating, right? So I think the blending is a constant. I don't think of them as two separate entities which need to be attached and supervised so that they remain attached. I think they are constantly the same thing. One is the actual operations of each point, and one is why you're doing it. Right, the strategy and the tactical.
Right.
That's what I think.
Got it. So next one is pretty interesting again. What is the best case study that you have come across in the road to get first 100 customers?
Ah, okay. I think there are many. There are many. I think once you get older, the examples get too many. I suppose one of the best examples, and I don't want to go into names and geographies. Connect with me on LinkedIn and maybe we'll have a one-on-one that is asking me that question. But there was this product which was focused on the automation automotive sector. So they were focusing on large customers who had extremely large fleet sizes. And they came up with this extremely small, very innovative solution that allowed them to capture a significant chunk of market share within, I suppose, 12 to 18 months. Wonderful case study. The way that they planned their whole sales strategy of attacking geographies, what is the type of customer, who are the buyer personas within that customer, it was done, you know, impeccably well. And I think I hold that as one of the successes with regards to startups. So yeah, please connect with me and I'll go into names and more details. But yeah, that's as cryptic as I can sound right now.
Thanks, Vinay. Thank you so much for answering all the questions. If we have more, we'll surely shoot it out to you on the emails. And you also have everybody, you have his LinkedIn ID as well. So please reach out to him if you have any other questions. Thanks, Vinay. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you and all the best. And I'm looking forward to the rest of the sessions. Okay. Thank you.
Hey, thank you for watching the recording. Do check us out at Ampus B2B Bench for more such killer content. Also, don't forget to go to www.amplus.com and book your free demo for Ampus Enterprise version to ring your next customer.